morning in our text, we read what I would consider to be one of the paradoxes in the Bible. Paradox is a statement that seems to have a contradictory meaning. We understand that the Bible's full of these sorts of things. Let me just give you a few if I can this morning, and you might be able to think of some yourself. They apparently are contradictory, but really are not at all. Things like this. In order to find your life, you have to lose it. Doesn't make much sense in the human mind, but when we understand it spiritually, it really does make sense. The greatest among you is the least, or we might say the servant of all, right? Least servant. That's right. The way to be exalted is to be abased or humbled. That's right. The way to gain is to give. That's right. The path to blessing is, this may not be as familiar, we learned it Thursday night, submitting. That doesn't seem like it would make sense to us, but these paradoxes in the Bible really truly are the wisdom of God. And they truly are where the secret of strength lie. This morning I want to just look at this paradox that we read, and I want you to understand today what it means. In one point here, the Lord is calling His disciples and those around Him to really even the lost, the Pharisees, to come unto Him that are laboring and heavy laden, and He would give rest to them. But did you notice verse 29 where the Bible makes almost the opposite statement? Take my yoke upon you. Now, today you understand what a yoke is, I think, and we don't really use it much in our culture, but the yoke is a symbolic of labor. It's symbolic of something that is getting ready to pull a great burden or do some work. And so often what would happen is either the ox or the donkey or whatever, the horse, generally not a horse, but some powerful animal would be placed in this yoke alongside of another animal, and they would pull together the great burden of this. And yoke was a bondage to a burden almost. And I'm painting this picture to help you to see the opposites of what Jesus was talking about here. First of all, He said, if you're laboring and are heavy laden, then you will find rest. But on the other side, He says, I want you to take a yoke upon you, and I want you to learn of Me. And in the Bible, in our understanding, we might think to ourselves, well, Lord, what is it going to be? Is it going to be rest, or is it going to be labor? Is it going to be giving up and letting You take control and finding rest for my soul? Or is it going to be putting a yoke, a burden, and labor on me again? And the answer to that is both. And I hope this morning that as we get to the end, you'll understand a little bit more of what that means. And I want to just explore in the Scriptures this morning what it means to have rest and what it means, if we could go by alliteration, to be roused to the work of the Lord. Our theme this year is laboring that we might be well-pleasing unto Him, that we might be accepted of Him. And so the theme of every morning message on Sunday mornings for the last month has been really about this idea of laboring and how we labor and what it is and what is our reward in that labor. This morning, if I can, I want to present this paradox because the labor of the Lord is different than the labor of our flesh. The labor of ministry and the labor of what Christ has done is much different than the labor that I would experience maybe trying to do something in my own power and strength. And so if I could just for a few moments explore the rest giver. How many of you this morning, rest sounds really good, right? Now, hopefully you got some rest last night. Hopefully you were able to sleep well and got some rest. But, you know, even sometimes our rest is interrupted, isn't it? Sometimes even a good night's sleep is not enough to really still all of the turmoil that's going on in our lives. So this morning, I'm not just going to speak about physical rest, although we understand that's important. God has created us with cycles of sleep and being awake. And by the way, Sunday morning is not the sleep time, all right? Just in case anybody... And so here's what I'm trying to say this morning. We're going to talk about what rest truly is. Because notice, let me just give you just a glimpse into this, if you would. go down to verse number 29. After he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And the Bible says in that final statement, ye shall find rest. I want you to finish that statement. Unto your souls. Now, it didn't say you're going to find rest unto your body. Although, I think that's a wonderful thing. The Bible says the sleep of a laboring man, or the rest of a laboring man, is sweet. All right? And we're going to use that principle a little later. But the fact is that our body needs rest. And we'll come to that in a little bit. But Jesus was more concerned about the rest of our soul. Can I say that again? Jesus is more concerned about our soul rest here in this passage. Now, I'm going to remind you this morning that our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. It's that part of you that is you. It is, we understand from the scriptures this morning that physiologically we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but this is what makes us unique among all of God's creation. Scientists today would tell us that we are a highly evolved form of animal, and they can trace that back by their discoveries and so forth and so on. And my job this morning is not to nitpick about those things. I believe that God created us unique, very specifically, on the sixth day of creation, and He gave to us a likeness unto Himself. And what was that likeness? It was His Spirit. It was the part of us that is eternal, the soul and the spirit that is eternal, that God desires to be a part of. Now, the body, the flesh that we have, yes, it's made up of the same composition as every other flesh. It's part of the dust of the ground. It decomposes. We're formulated chemically by those things. But the fact is that we're different than everything else that God created. And part of that difference is that we have a soul. And that soul is what God gave to us. It is who we are. So we might think of Paul used the illustration of our body being a tabernacle. That's an Old Testament word, but it doesn't really ring true to us. We might think of it this: it's a tent, right? It's a temporary place of shelter. And right now, my soul is inhabiting my body. God's given me this body that I might be able to move around the earth and enjoy the things, but I'm limited by the laws of nature that God created because of this body. There's coming a day when I will have a glorified body. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that we will be glorified. We will not be bound by the laws that we were once bound by, just like Jesus wasn't bound by the laws after His resurrection and His glorified body. I'm telling you this morning that this wonderful truth is that we have a body, soul, and spirit. We are a tripartite being. And that part of that we have that God is concerned about here is the soul rest that we have, that we need. It is the rest of our mind, our emotions, our will. It is the rest that we need and so desperately need, that's far beyond just the physical rest of our life. And when the sun goes down and we find ourselves tired and weary and we crawl into bed and we sleep and we get up in the morning and we feel refreshed in our body, but yet maybe we feel weighed down in our soul. The rest of our soul is what God's talking about. Now, how do we find that then? I want to just speak to you this morning about this. I want you to understand that the rest of our flesh, the rest of our body, the body needs rest, obviously, and we need to kind of get away. And so what we do is we say, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to give myself some me time. How many of you heard that before, right? I'm going to have some me time. This is a me day or whatever the case might be. This is self-care. I don't know what the modern words are that they use, but I need some self-care. And so maybe we go and we'll plop ourselves down in front of our computer, or we'll sit down in front of a television, or we'll go to some pastime, or we'll give ourselves to some hobby that we might think will rejuvenate us. And maybe for a time it distracts us and it gets us away from what it is that's weighing heavily on us. And the burdens and cares of this world maybe are outside the door, left outside of our mind for a time. But you know what happens when we're done with that pastime, don't you? Everything comes back. It's all there again. There is a need for us to have something greater than just a distraction. By the way, I'll tell you this. Many Christians would say today, well, I just need a little bit of me time. But I'll tell you this, Jesus never took any me time. All right? You say, well, Jesus went away into a mountain. But I'll tell you this, he didn't sit down and say, well, I'm going to give my flesh a little bit of indulgence. He didn't say, I'm going to give myself a little bit of, I'm just going to kind of let loose a little bit. I'm just going to kind of not care a little bit. I'm just going to kind of relax a little bit. He needed to get away, but his kind of rest was far different than the kind of rest we're seeking today. And Christian, I think this is something that's slipped into our lives. And you say, well, I'm constantly worn out. I don't feel like I have any strength spiritually and emotionally. I feel like I don't have any kind of determination or zeal. And all of us get to that point. But the answer, my friend, tonight or this morning is not found in the secular entertainment or the worldly distractions of our mind, but rather it's found in the truth of what God says. Only He can give us rest to our souls. He didn't say, come unto your computer and you'll find rest for your soul. He didn't say, go down and sit down and eat yourself some ice cream and you're going to find rest for your soul. Now, that's good for a moment. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying that's not where we find rest. He didn't say, go out and go on your boat or go out on a vacation or go out and do what you're going to do and you'll find rest for your soul. He said, come unto me and you'll find rest for your soul. I believe this morning, can I just have your attention for a minute this morning? Christian, this morning, I believe we're missing where we find this rest. I believe we're worn out this morning, and maybe we don't have the spiritual stamina that we need, and we all get weary. And I'm saying we understand what it is to be weary. I'm not saying the sin is in the weariness. I'm saying we miss where to find true rest. And that's what Christ is calling us to do. Come unto me. Come unto me. It doesn't feel as good to seek the Lord in those times. I want some me time. Yeah? And you know what? You're going to come out of that just as tired and just as weary in your flesh as you went in, and maybe more. Matter of fact, I have a theory. I don't know if this is scientifically proven or not, but I know it's true in my life. Where I kind of deceive myself and think, well, I just need some distraction for a little bit. I need to get away from this. And so I seek some sort of entertainment or distraction or pastime or hobby or whatever it might be. There is a temporary distraction in that, but I tell you this, I come out more weary, less, I'll say it this way, less motivated to do what I should do as a Christian. In other words, I may come out feeling like, wow, that was time well spent physically or in the flesh, but spiritually I'm no more in tune, I'm no more ready to do what God wants me to do. And as a matter of fact, I think it distracts, it saps my energy. And I think that's where many times we've kind of followed along with the world system, and they say, well, if you can't cope or you need some getaway time, you just need more of your time. And isn't that what they tell us in our, you know, advertisements? We heard that, I think, Thursday night too. You deserve this. You're worth it. I'm just saying, listen, what they're trying to do is sell you a product. They're trying to sell you some sort of bill of goods, and they're trying to tell you that you're going to find fulfillment in this, and for a time it may be okay. But it's no different than someone that wants to drown their sorrows or all their burdens using alcohol or some sort of drugs to try to take the edge off of something. I'm just saying that when the time comes that wears off, the burdens are still there and there's no rest for the soul. And Christian, you may not be taking part in alcohol and drugs and all those kind of mind-altering things, but I'm telling you this morning, if you seek for rest outside of anything but the Lord Jesus Christ, it's only temporary, and I believe it's damaging, because it saps us of our desire and our ability to do what God wants us to do. I just want you to see this morning, church, that rest is found nowhere for your soul but in the Lord Jesus. That's the simple message this morning. I've got a few more thoughts that I'll give you, but the fact is, we can't be robbing ourselves of our spiritual strength in the Lord and expect to have the stamina and the determination and the ability to go through this battle called life and these burdens that we carry. And so, this morning, let me just give you a few verses. I just want to reiterate the fact here, going in, just a few brief thoughts here this morning. But let me just reiterate this. We're in a place, this life, God's design for this life is not ease and distraction. Now, I'm not saying that ease in certain times is bad. Let me just use two illustrations this morning, all right? First of all, I want to use the illustration of work. Years ago, back in 1929, as a matter of fact, I did a little research on this yesterday. It's very fascinating to me. But in communist Russia, they the powers that be determined that they were going to stop using the 7-day work cycle, and they were going to go to a 10-day work cycle. Now, what they said was, you know, if you take I think there was, they had something like 35 or something days off. The average worker at that time would have about 35 days off. And with this rotation, they undid the whole calendar and they redid it so that there were 5 days of work, and they would rotate people at different times. But it was a 10-day cycle, all right, is what we're saying. And I don't want to get confusing. It's a little bit challenging here. But what they did was they found that, and on paper it looked good. You're going to get 50 days off a year now instead of 30. And, you know, you're going to be able, we're going to keep the cogs of the machines running all the time, and there's not going to be any downtime. It used to be that everybody worked, you know, five or six days, and then on the seventh day, that was time for people to, you know, clean their house, go to church, meet with family, have a day off. That was just kind of the thing that was going on. Well, they said, we don't want that. And part of the blessing of for them, part of the benefit was that now the dad would go to work on certain days, the mom would go to work on certain days, and the family would go to work on certain days, and none of them were taking the same days off, and they were all kind of, they had a day off, but they didn't have anything to do. They couldn't have church because everybody was working different times. They couldn't go to their families because it wasn't happening, and all of this, and the labor wore everybody out. As a matter of fact, there was an upheaval and a revolt, really, and after 11 years of this, can you imagine 11 years of that, they finally said, this is a bust, it's not working. The productivity actually went down. Now, here's what I'm saying. We know that in labor, you can't labor all the time. I'm talking about your physical labor, right? If you go to work, and it's interesting to follow, I'm not going to talk about all this, but it's following the kind of the evolution of the work week till we get to the 40-hour, 8-hour day work week. You know, that's a relatively modern thing, but I think it's helpful because it gave established cycles of rest and taking time off and all of this. I think it's very biblical. What did the Lord do? He labored 7 days. He rested on the sixth day. Seventh day. I'll get it right. Well, here's the point. The rest wasn't I'm exhausted. It is, I've completed my work, and now I'm taking a break from it. Now, here's what I'm saying. We understand that you can't labor all the time. I can't work, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We know that there's work, and then there's a time off of work, right? How many of you understand that? Okay, good. Now, let's go to the second illustration, the example of battle. All right? I don't know if anybody's been in war here. I don't think so. But, you know, we know how it works, right? If you have any study of battle, you know that soldiers are trained to go into battle. But how many of you understand there's not bullets flying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? There are times when there are battles going on. The war is being fought. We're in a state of war, but battles or skirmishes happen here, and then they pull back, or they have victory, and then they happen over here, and then they pull back, and some people are on the front lines, and they have a tour of battle, and then they come back behind the lines, or they retreat for a little bit to have some relaxation and some refreshment, and try to build up their strength again. Maybe they got to get some medical help or whatever, and maybe they'll go back into tour. What I'm saying is that in battle and in labor, there is a time when we are giving all of our effort, and we've got to be focused, and we've got to be given, and there's a time to rest. How many understand that so far? Okay, good. Not hard to understand. What I'm saying this morning is, it's when we labor or we battle, and then we come back from that, where are you finding your rest? What is it that you're looking for? Where is it that you're finding the recuperation and the resources to be able to do what needs to happen? And this life right now, my friend, is not just I'm not going to be working, I'm just going to take all the time off. How many of you know that if you did that at your job, you may not have a job very long? I'm not going to work, you know, for the next 6 months or a year. I just consider myself unemployed. Well, you know, maybe there's some safety nets, you might get some unemployment or whatever the case might be, but that's not a significant long-term strategy. And it's just like battle. It's like, well, I know where all my buddies are in war, but I'm going to go back and pretend like I'm not in war and live like I'm not in the battle or I'm not in a state of war. There is no soldier anytime during war that is not able to be called up at any moment or in danger of being in battle at any moment. Even in a back place or something that's supposedly maybe safe, they're still in a state, a mind state of being in war, in battle. Now, here's what I'm saying. Let's bring that over to Christianity and our life as Christ, for Christ. We labor. This is a time of labor. It's not a time of relaxation. It's not a time of I'm not in anything. And I think we kind of cruise in our life like we're just kind of, I'm saved, but I'm just going to go about my life. We don't even realize that we're laboring for the Lord. We're in His workforce. We don't even realize that we're in a battle. We're in a battle against Satan and evil. And the Bible uses both of those illustrations. Now, there's not a time when we're 100% always in laboring for the Lord. This afternoon, you know, here we are in church. I see this as kind of a labor for the Lord, although I see it more of a refreshment time. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But the fact is, you're not going to be in battle all the time. You're not going to be working all the time. There's some times to step back. And I'm not going to be out. I don't preach 100% of the time. I'm not out witnessing 24 hours a day. But there's never a time. Listen to me today, church. There's never a time when I'm not a Christian. There's never a time when I'm not a soldier for the Lord. There's never a time when I'm not a laborer for the Lord. Even in my time of rest, or my time when I'm not at the battle fray, or maybe I'm not standing behind the pulpit or handing out a tract or doing what God wants me to do, there's never a time when I'm not a servant of the Lord. So my question this morning is, when we're not on the battle line, when we're not in our labor, where are you finding that rest? The Bible tells us about this labor characterizing our life. John 4:38, I send you to reap that whereon ye bestow no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labor. 1 Corinthians 3:8, now that he that planteth and he that watereth are one, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. I'm showing you all this to show you, listen, our life is a life of labor. Christian, well, I don't want to be that busy. I'm already busy with my career. I'm already busy. Here's what I'm saying. If you're entered into the Lord, I'm talking about you receive the gift of eternal life by faith. Let me tell you this morning, God has planted us there. Now, here's the difference. We think of labor like we think of our fleshly labor. Oh, it's hard, burdensome. I got to deal with problems. I got so much problem. I don't want to go to work tomorrow because I just got so much problem to deal with. I don't want to deal with people. I don't want to deal with problems. I don't want to deal with schedules, budgets. I don't want to deal with these things. It's a burden. I get that. But I want to remind you this morning, verse 29, God's burden is what? Light, easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. All right, now, we'll talk more about that. But the fact I want to get straight off is that we have a life that is characterized by labor. I think it was a song one time. Lester Olof used to sing it. I don't know what the song is all completely, but it says this. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Now remember, our battle is not against flesh and blood. We don't battle against people. Our battle against the forces of darkness. Our weapons are spiritual, not carnal. But the fact is, we're in a battle all the time. The battle rages. The work is never done. And I know we want to sit back and take our ease, but may I tell you this morning that our ease will come ultimately when we're with the Lord. We talk about eternal rest, right? Amen. It's not just I'm sleeping. That's what a lot of people think. Not at all. Matter of fact, it's eternal life. And I'm just saying this morning that our life here, it's a whole different paradigm understanding what our life is here on the earth rather than what majority of people view their life as. You know what the majority of the lost and the world feel that their life is? It's just a pursuit of pleasure and happiness and satisfaction for this life only. That's the sum total of it. And as a Christian, our minds are different. We have a different outlook. Why? Because Christ tells us that this life is for eternity, not just for here. And that's the value, the meaning of what we're talking about. And by faith, we accept that. Now, let me go into some thoughts here this morning. So I just broke my thoughts down into two, really following the paradox. Number one, let's talk about soul rest for just a moment. The word rest is to cause or permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect his strength. Immediately what pops into my mind is when I'm wrestling with my boys. and I'm winning, and I'm getting tired. So what do we do? All right, stop. Hold on. And I'm, you know, dizzy, lightheaded, and I got you, you know, but give me a minute. Okay, what am I doing? Taking a rest. Why? I need to recover my strength. Right? I'm old and don't realize it and out of shape, and they have to show me every once in a while, and I have to show them who's boss. But the fact is, we need that time where we just step back for a minute. And may I just say, first of all, concerning this, there is a need for rest. I don't ever want you to believe that the Christian life is 100% go all the time, 100%. I think we need to be laboring, and I think we need to be resting. Now, I'm not proposing laziness. Matter of fact, let me just give you a little bit, if I can, of a contrast here, if I might. We know in Mark chapter 6 where Jesus said, He said unto them, "Come ye yourselves apart unto a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." Now, I know sometimes we've been busy, and there's times in our lives we've been so busy we just can't take a minute and have lunch, right? Or we missed lunch, we missed dinner, whatever. There's those times when that happens. And spiritually speaking, there's a time when we're so busy, there's a time just to step back. But let me tell you this. The need for stepping back is directly related to the amount of labor that you're putting in. In other words, I think it's this. Jesus didn't say, "Well, we've been sitting here for you know, a good day. Let's go take a couple days off." Or you know, we've kind of come through this time and we haven't really done much, but I think we need to get away. No, the labor is what determines the need for rest. Here's what I'm saying. We say the day Sunday is a day when we kind of pause from ministry, from laboring out in the workforce and laboring out in the world, and we come together and we refresh each other and we find that rest together. And here's what it is. It's basically stopping what you were doing all the week long and all the other things that you're taking in, and you're coming and you're doing something different to recover strength. Now you say, "Well, Sunday's not that big a deal to me." And here may be the problem. Maybe the labor during the week is not enough to help us to appreciate the rest for the Lord's Day. Here's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about physical rest. I'm talking about the spiritual encouragement that we find. I don't really think it's that important, Pastor. It's not really that big a deal. And what I'm saying is, I think the more that we labor for the Lord in our lives during the week, the more we appreciate coming together and finding the encouragement in God's Word. Just like, you know, I can sit at my desk all day long, and sometimes I have to do that. Man, I get home, and I'm tired, but it's not a physical tired. I haven't done anything. Man, I love getting out, and get me out on an activity or a tractor or something. Let me labor during the day and come home, and let me tell you what, I'm going to sleep good that night. Because the rest of a laboring man is sweet. Church, can I just bring that into the spiritual life? The rest of a laboring man spiritually is sweet. And when we're working for the Lord, when we're laboring for the Lord and battling for the Lord, man, it's special to come together and say, "Man, I need some rest, Lord. I need some encouragement, and I want to be an encouragement to people around me. Let's get together and let's encourage one another." And I tell you, coming together takes on a whole new meaning after we've labored for the Lord. But if you haven't done anything for the Lord all week, there hasn't been any thought of God's work or doing any labor for Him, church is just church. I'll come and sit and fill a pew, fill a chair, enjoy it, do what I got to do. It's not really life-changing. Here's what I'm saying. It's about a perspective. We need that rest, but that rest is determined by the amount that we have of physical labor. But may I say, there needs to be a rest also from this spiritual labor that I mentioned earlier. And I just want you to see two things about this. Rest comes, first of all, really in two stages. The rest for spiritual our life comes in two stages, and it starts positionally at salvation. Church, listen. You entered into rest when you got saved. You know how? Okay. How many of you were saved out of a life of trying your hardest to do your best for the Lord and hoping that He would accept you one day in heaven? What I mean by that is, I came from a religion or a background or whatever where I just thought the better I was, the better chance I had to get to heaven and be accepted by the Lord. Now, some of you were saved out of that. How many of you know that that is a burden that is on you to just carry and do your best and hope that God will accept you when you get to heaven? That is a huge burden to bear. Number two, there's a burden of really death. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that God had delivered us who through fear of death were in bondage our whole life. I appreciate, I put out a little plea for, we're doing a John Romans cover, and I'm excited about it. I'm getting it finished up, and I put out a plea for people to give me just a one-line testimony about what the Word of God has done for your life. And I've been encouraged by the response. Matter of fact, I've been it already. I don't have any more room in my job. If you want to turn it, if I can do, it was Brother Donnelly, or I was Donnelly, but it's fearful if I were to him afterwards. But that's essentially what he, that's it. All right, so here's the point. How many people do you realize today in this world who through fear of death are in bondage their whole life? I would say almost everyone. Now, they can, you know, there might be some bold brides, I don't care what happens, I'm going to go have a party in hell when I die, or whatever. I've heard people say that. Or, you know, I'm just going to be nothing when I die. It's just going to annihilate. I won't be anywhere. Listen, we can believe anything we want, but it doesn't change the truth. I'm talking about the world. They can believe whatever they want, but the truth is that there is life after this life, and you're either going to be in one of two places. A place where you're with God, or a place paying for your own punishment and sin that God's created for those that reject Him. That's Bible. I didn't make that up. That's not with me or the church. That's what God's Word says. Now, we can say, I don't believe it, or I do believe it. It doesn't change the fact. But you, my friend, this morning, understand that there are bondages when it comes to our spiritual life. There's a bondage of, I want to get to heaven, or I want to be with God, and I don't know, I'm trying my best. There's a bondage of fearing about death and not having that passion, that assurance that I'm not going to perish. I'm not going to be gone and destroyed. I'm just saying, that's the bondage that we got delivered from when we got saved. That's the peace that we have in our heart, the peace that passes understanding, the Bible tells us. The hope that God gives us. And that's why He says, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death has been defeated. The power of death has been taken away. Death doesn't scare the believer. Death is a graduation into really what God has for us. Now, nobody in their right mind wants to die. I love living, even with all the burdens and cares. I like my life. But I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Now, that's not abandonment. That's not being crazy. I know some people, you know, they're just self-destructing and they don't seem to care. What I'm saying is that God has delivered us into this matter of rest when we got saved. How many of you testify by raising your hands, I recognize the rest that God has given me in salvation regarding my eternal life? Every believer throughout all of ages would say the exact same thing. This is not an anomaly. It's not just a small group of people. I'm talking about millions of people who put their faith and trust in the Lord and they found rest for their soul. My soul's at rest because of salvation. Is your soul at rest? You say, well, that's just your belief, Pastor. That's just what you want. Yes, it is. But it can be yours. God can deliver you from that fear of death that's keeping you in bondage this morning. By the way, that's a good word. That's the good word that we can give out to people. Knock on somebody's door. How you doing? We were out yesterday morning. Had a great time. People opening the door. I couldn't believe it. It was 20 degrees. People coming out and standing outside talking to us. I'm trying to tell them, you don't have to come out. Just let me say something to you. Oh, no, I'll come talk to you. What are we can? Just going through. I got a little piece of paper here. It has some Bible verses on it. I'm from the church down the road. Just want you to know there's somebody that cares and there's good news. What's the good news? You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be in bondage. You don't have to have your cares completely weighing you down. God can deliver you from that. That's the good news. Now, in salvation, first of all, is where we have rest. Matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 4 tells us, there remaineth yet therefore a rest unto the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Here's the point. At some point, you've got to stop trying to get salvation through your own righteousness, and you've got to start trusting the Lord. That's what salvation is. Stop trying, start trusting. And that's where we enter into this rest. But may I say that there is not just a rest in salvation, but there is a rest for us that comes even beyond salvation. And that is the rest of life. That is the eternal kind of being at a state of rest in the Lord Jesus. So we're in a position of rest and salvation, and that burden's been lifted, the fear's been lifted, all of those things that have kept me in bondage are gone, but now I need to continue to walk in that day by day. It's kind of like, I don't know, let's liken it to the physical rest. And that's something that we have to have every day, don't we? There's a time when we have to just sleep and refresh ourselves. And I say as a Christian, yes, I can be at rest in my soul and understanding what God's done, but there's a element that I just need to continue in that rest day by day. The burdens that come and the cares that take over and the weariness that comes, I've got to come into that place of rest for the Lord and find it for Him. And so the rest for salvation, and I'm thankful that we have His rest. But notice, if you would, not only is there the need for rest, but I want you to see number two this morning, and that is the source for this rest. Where do we find that? I alluded to it earlier, but let me just give it to you briefly here. I mentioned already, Jesus didn't say here, go unto your hobbies and you'll find rest for your souls, right? He didn't even say, go to your home and sleep and you'll find rest for your souls. He didn't say, go have a me day and you'll find rest for your souls. Here's what He said. You know it. Come unto Me, and I will give you rest. The truest rest that we can find is in Him. Not in our entertainment, not in our self-time, not in our hobby or pastime, but true rest is found in Christ. The fellowship of Christ and walking with Him is the source of rest. And my friend, today, you can go and you can take vacations and you can go and take your hobbies and you can do whatever you're going to do. But let me tell you, you will come out of that as weary of doing right and continuing in the battles you went in, because the rest is not found in those things. It's found in the Lord Jesus. I'm not trying to be a broken record this morning, but I want you to hear it. I want you to get it. Christ said, come unto Me and I will give you rest. Yes, we need to get away, but what do? In that time away? Yes, you need to take some downtime and you need to step back from the battle and the labor, but what do? Where do you find your rest in that time? Where is it that you're plugging into? What is it that you're seeking to find the strength that you need? Jesus said, come unto Me and I will give you rest. The emotional, spiritual, and mental rest that He gives us in our soul, the Bible talks about. I will give rest unto your soul. Fellowship with Him and the walking with Him is the source of our strength and our rest. And so I want you to see, first of all, that the rest part of the paradox, Jesus says, come to Me and I'll give you that. But notice the second part, and that is the rousing part of the paradox, the work part. Let me just address this briefly and we'll be done this morning. The opposite side of the paradox is the rousing to work that we're called to do. And I mentioned, is it rest or is it labor, Lord? What is it? And the fact is, we need both. The labor in our flesh is laborious and burdensome. We wear down, we wear out. But the work of the Lord, listen to me this morning, church, is a burden that is light and a yoke that is easy. He is the one doing the work for us. Someone likened it this way. Takes two to be in a yoke. A yoke of oxen is always two animals, right? So I get in the yoke. And who's in the other side? The Lord Jesus. You know what the fact is? I'm just with Him, laboring, but He's doing the work. We can liken it to this. Today we say the farmer goes out and he climbs in his tractor and he hooks up the plow or the planter. And in the springtime, he's going out and he's going to plant. And we say the farmer planted his field. But is that accurate? No, the farmer participated. But what planted the field? It was the tractor, right? It was the equipment that was there. Now, the equipment, it's not a perfect illustration and not perfect parallel, but the fact is that he just got in the tractor and turned the key, and nowadays you poke buttons and move levers and it does all of it. You don't even have to touch the steering wheel nowadays. It drives straight, it picks up, it can turn around, it can plow, it can plant, it can put it exactly where it needs to go. The farmer has to be there, and now they're exploring, you know, even farmerless tractors. It's kind of, it's coming. And, all these robotic things. Here's what I'm trying to say. The farmer doesn't do it. He participates in it. And that's what Christ is doing for you and I. He's not doing, we're not doing the work. We're just participating in the work. He's doing it. Oh, I have to physically do something. The farmer has to get up in the tractor and, you know, do the maintenance and all the rest. I have to physically do something, but it's not laborious. It's not heavy. It's not burdensome. My labor, my yoke is easy. That's what Jesus said. So, the work of the Lord is not compared to the work of our flesh because there's no comparison. One's done in our strength, one's done in His. And so when we talk about rest versus labor, it's not an either or, it's a both and. I can have rest in my soul at salvation. I can have rest from the burdens of this care, and I can come to Him and I can find that rest. But even in my labor for the Lord, in that yoke, the Bible says you can find rest for your souls. That's what verse 29 says. There's a rest when we come unto Him, and then there's a rest when we take His yoke upon Him. Now, church, I'm not trying to be confusing this morning. Here's what I'm trying to say. God has called us to labor with Him, and it's not laborious. Now, there's times when I know it can be overwhelming. And there's times when we need to run back to Him to find the rest for our souls, but it's there. It's there. And so, the invitation is twofold. Come to the Savior. Number two, take His yoke upon Him, upon us. And I just want, if I can say this, the taking His yoke upon us is really to submit our wills to His. When an oxen is put in the yoke, he is submitting to the will of that farmer, that ranch, whatever, to the will of that yoke, and he puts his neck willingly into that. And I know it's a dumb ox and whatever, but here's the likeness. The likeness is that we get into that willingly for the Lord, and we yield, we submit to what He wants for us to do. That's what being in the yoke is all about. It's either my life and what I want to do, or what's Christ and what He wants me to do. And He says, when you do what you want to do, you're going to be weary. When you do what I ask you to do and submit to that, you'll have rest. It's a paradox. It doesn't make sense. Some of us, we're going to keep hitting our heads against the wall, and I'm going to keep doing what I want to do, and I'm not going to submit to what God wants me to do because I think I've got this under control. And that's your privilege. That's your right as a free will human being. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus, in His meek and lowliness of heart, He's saying, come unto Me, and I will give you that rest. It's right here. Would you just trust Me for that? And that's what Christ is calling us in our life to be. A call to submit to the plans and the labor of the Lord. He is the yoke fellow, the one doing the work. It's interesting that coming to Him is not the same as putting on the yoke. Can I just say this? There's two invitations. Come unto Me, all right? That's first. That's salvation, we might say. But then secondly, take My yoke upon you. I think this is where a lot of Christians have missed it. They've come unto Him, maybe in salvation. But that's where they stop. Jesus says, not only come unto Me, but put My yoke on. And let's talk about this labor this morning. You know, Christian, you may be satisfied to sit in your chair and fulfill whatever it is that you're doing in your life, and that's all well and good. But if you've not taken God's yoke upon you, submitted to His plan and will for your life, you're not getting all that God wants you to get. Rest for your souls is found in the yoke of submission. I'm not trying to make a complicated thing here. It's just a matter of trust. It doesn't make sense. It's a paradox. I don't understand, but I'm going to trust the Lord. And I'll tell you, you're going to find it to be true. Rest for your soul comes in obedience. Now, I have a burden this year, as I close really this series, to see us as a church be laboring for the Lord. We've talked about fruitful labor. We've talked about being earnest and zealous in our labor. I have a burden for us as a church to be fruitful this year in our labor for the Lord. You see, Pastor, it's a kind of a weird year and weird things and uncertain. I get it all, but that has nothing to do with the fruitfulness of the Lord and His work. We need to be willing to enter into that labor and into that rest. I have a burden to see some take the next step of obedience and faith, and maybe whatever that might be in their life. Maybe they need to take the step of obedience and salvation. I need to just accept Christ for what He is. I have a burden to see that. I have some people, I have a burden to see take the next step into baptism. I need to be obedient and baptized after salvation so that I can show identity outside of my heart what Christ has done inside. Some people, I have a burden to take the step of church obedience, or excuse me, church membership, and say, I want to identify with God's work and His plan. I think that's a step of faith. It's submitting to Him. Some people are already there, but they need to take the step of obedience. I need to be involved. I need to take that yoke of labor on so that I can be more involved in the work of the Lord. I have a burden to see some of our young men and older men take steps to grow in their leadership in God's work. But none of that will happen unless we're willing to put on the yoke that God says is easy and His burden is light. And I'm just challenging you today, men and women and young people and older people, would you be willing this morning to find the rest that God wants to give by coming to Him and by putting on the yoke that He calls us to put on? Take my yoke upon you. Both of them come with rest. The promise, it's not like, well, you got to just burn out and wear yourself out for the Lord. Do everything for the Lord. No. If we do that, we will find rest. We're burning ourselves out looking for rest in entertainment and all the things of the world that we're trying to distract ourselves by that we think for a moment give us a little bit of happiness and kind of distraction. But in reality, we're missing the rest that God wants us to have. And I've been burning more than ever that we would see I would see in my life true rest. Not just distraction, not just taking time off, but true rest that rejuvenates and refreshes us for the work of the Lord. And so, the rest is found in the Lord Jesus, the simple message this morning. I hope you've got that. I'm reminded as we close here, Isaiah 57, verse 20, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. That doesn't give me any satisfaction to read that verse. It breaks my heart. It burdens me to have to give to want to give the truth to those who are really laboring and are heavy laden and are under the bondage of sin and doubt and fear in this life. And I'll tell you, it's real. But you and I have the blessing of knowing God's rest. One of the greatest paradoxes in the Bible. Take my yoke upon you, and you'll find rest for your souls. Christian, are you willing just to follow the Lord this morning and trust Him in that? It's real. It happens. And I'm just encouraging you that you would find rest in Him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your love this morning, your truth. Lord, I pray that you'd convict us, really, Lord, right now in areas of our life where we've been pursuing other things rather than you. Looking for rest, needing rest, but looking for it in areas and places that will, they really don't satisfy at all. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord. Lord, may we find rest in Christ. Maybe someone needs to come to you this morning in salvation. Lord, I thank you for the day when I simply transferred my trust from whatever I was trusting in to what you have told us, and that is yourself, your death, your sacrificial death on the cross for each person that's ever lived and ever will live. It's an amazing plan, Lord. Thank you for the simplicity of it. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for the profound impact it made in my life and millions of people throughout the ages of history and even this day. Lord, thank you for what you've done. I pray today we might rest in you in salvation, but also rest even in our labor. God, would you help us to confess areas in our life where we're wrong, where we've not sought you. Lord, it's not just, oh, I better change this. It's, Lord, I was wrong and I see that. Help us to be willing to confess it and forsake it, and establish, Lord, the right direction this morning. Would you do your work in our hearts, we pray. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you join me standing, please? This is the time for you to do business with the Lord, which means make that decision, make that commitment to the Lord. Take a step of faith, Christian. Just be willing to say, Lord, I'll step out and do what you want me to do. And I encourage you to do that this morning. As the instrumentalists play, would you respond to the Lord?